Welcome to Classical Patties. My name is Sophia.
I'm Katie.
And I'm, oh shit, wait, sorry. My microphone is literally like underneath me. And I'm Nisha. And today we're going to be talking about, wow.
What are we talking about, Nisha? Tell us. Tell us all about it.
Today we're going to be talking about classical music in horror movies, or iconic classical music in horror movies. So kind of
plop classical.
Pop classical part two.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, these are all songs that when you hear them, you know to be scared. You've definitely heard them in your nightmares. And then also today we are coming to you via Zoom. We have no fancy microphone set up because nothing is working.
Yeah, so once again, we're
just here to hang out, have a laugh, and listen to some scary music.
But Sophia, music I have to ask first, do your nightmares have soundtracks?
Yeah, do Sometimes. They?
I dream of music. Do you guys not? Not really. My dreams have written terrible, terrible music. I've never come up with anything good in my dreams, but literal like word vomit comes to me in my dreams.
Trying to think.
I've never written it down or sung it because sometimes I can't remember it the next day, but I've definitely like dreamt of music before.
I think it depends on my dreams because I've definitely had music in my dreams, but usually it's like when I'm trying to write a song in my dreams, and it'll be in like the weirdest situations too, but it doesn't matter. That's not what we're talking about today.
No, I mean, I thought that was normal. It's like your dreams don't have soundtracks.
I mean, like I might hear a song or something, but like I don't have like a backtrack to like my dreams as I'm going about. Like I don't hear, I don't know, like da 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 as like things are coming to kill me.
Well, I guess speaking of scary music, I think one that we've probably all heard on every, like, you know, those Halloween mixes that they played for you in elementary school. Did you guys have to listen to those? And then you'd like
the Monster Mash and all that kind of stuff.
Oh my god, you do the mash. It was the graveyard smash. Anyways, I got one of those for you here. Let's hope my super high-tech audio playing system of putting my phone speaker against my microphone works. Oh, there it is. I think that's all you need to hear, right? You know it? You know it?
Pretty iconic.
Yeah, very iconic. In case you don't, it is Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor. And this one is performed by, I believe, Simon Preston is the album from the Deutsche Grammophon. It's tiny writing and I don't speak any German, but you know what I'm talking about. But this became really associated with horror after Jekyll and Hyde. And I believe it was to get the exact title because there's a billion versions of this movie, but the one that used it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 1931. So way back in the day.
I mean, it wasn't it also in Dracula?
I thought it was just Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Am I just imagining that it was in Dracula?
I think you're right. I think it
I
was
be
in
surprised
Dracula.
If it was.
Because it's become the Dracula theme.
Oh, it's definitely associated with vampires for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me check.
Because this is the first example I found, and maybe it's entirely possible, and I just totally glazed over that and didn't realize, or if it's just one of those, because it's creepy. Something about pipe organ just really freaks people's brains out for some reason.
Mm. Yeah.
All I hear in my head when I hear a pipe organ is, mwah, ha, 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 which is dumb. But,
I hear like a little like werewolf howl in the distant woods, some thunder, some lightning. Yeah. And then this one is also, it's also in Fantasia. It's the very first song that they use. And it's that one sequence where they just do colors and images that just came to the animator's mind, which I think is one of my favorite parts of it. I mean, I enjoy Fantasia quite a lot. And it's something that left a very big impression on me as a kid. Nisha, have you come up with anything conclusive to answer the Dracula question? Because I see
not yet. Keep talking.
Okay.
Distract. Diversion.
Diversion. Katie, you know any good jokes?
No, I have empty thought.
Okay, so I can't find anything about Dracula.
Clearly the Mandela effect.
I know that obviously it's been in movies associated with vampires.
Yeah. But are we just like Mandela effect imagined it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's in Jekyll and Hyde, but maybe as a result of it being associated with scary stuff, it's mm-hmm. been attached to vampire things.
Yeah,
maybe. My piece, which is next, I guess, is iconic.
Are you okay? Stop dreaming about Anakin Skywalker and play us a song.
Unfortunately, I can't, because when I think of Anakin Skywalker, all I can think of is Psycho, which is coincidentally exactly the piece that I'm talking about.
Nice segue.
Wow, that was such a good transition, Katie.
It really was.
Anyways, so the piece that I'm referring to is from the iconic movie Psycho by Alfred Hitchcock. The piece is titled Psycho. It was written by Bernard Herrmann for the 1960 film. The iconic scene that Psycho. Everybody would know this piece from is the shower stabbing scene.
All I can think of when I think of that is like the Okay, wait, but like, okay, so like, all I can think of is like that whole like re thing, whatever that I just said. But like, doesn't it kind of sound like the basically, yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
Psycho.
For sure.
But yeah, like talking about, I guess, those famous movies that have those sounds. Wow, that's not a good way of explaining what I'm trying to say.
Movies with all those sounds.
I love sounds in movies. You know, when they brought in talkies, it really changed my viewing experience.
Oh my god. Okay. So, other than this, Psycho is a really famous, you know, horror movie. The Shining is another really famous horror movie. And that iconic scene with, like, the weird, what is it? Is it, like, ectoplasm or whatever coming from the elevator or whatever?
Yeah, when all the goo comes blood? Through. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when Bella Bartok's music for strings, percussion, and Celesta, whatever it is starts playing. And it's actually really eerie and freaky. I'll play it for you guys.
All I hear is an interference signal. That's it. Yusha, are you playing something for us?
Do you not hear that dinging?
Now I hear it.
Super high pitch, like, pinging.
Yeah.
That's what it was. You guys interrupted it.
Oh.
Hey, I said nothing.
I thought it was an audio malfunction.
No, Sophia, that's the song.
Bartok fooled me.
I literally played it for you earlier, and I was like, oh, this gives me anxiety. And you're...
I thought it was more audio interference. I didn't pick it up then, and it didn't register now, okay? Yeah, that's the soundtrack to my brain. It's just that, like, constant high-pitched squeal.
It's in The Shining, and it's really popular, and I'm sure you guys all know it. Moving on.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the thing I heard with what makes certain sounds really, really creepy is if you have that really high-pitched sound, either suspended
and you
with,
don't
like,
think it's audio interference?
And I don't think it's audio interference. Yeah, but also if you put a really low bass tone and a really high tone on top of it, like your brain starts to fill in the middle and that makes us anxious. Because really deep sounds, like whatever the Jaws theme activates our brains to be like, something big is coming.
Fight or flight.
Yeah. That brings us to the next piece. Thank you, Sophia.
I got you.
I got peanut butter on my pants.
Katie, why are you eating while we're talking?
I'm hungry. Anyways, the next piece that we're talking about is Shark from Jaws.
What?
Which
did you say Shark?
The name is called Shark.
Is that what it's called?
Shark, actually?
Yeah, well, that's what I read. If I'm wrong, somebody please correct me, but that's what I read when I was looking this up. It's called Shark. The specific thing is Shark from Jaws.
Katie, but... it's the shark theme. It's not just called shark.
Wow.
Oh my god.
No,
it cannot possibly just be called. I mean, like, I get it. Technically, it is called shark, but you don't just call it shark. You call it shark theme.
Shark. You guys hear that song? Shark.
It's a real banger.
You know, I was like, Katie googled it. She knows what she's talking about.
You have too much faith in me.
Tell us about the shark theme.
Shark.
Shark.
The Jaws theme song, or as I have called it, shark. It's composed by John Williams, and it was inspired by The Rite of Spring, La Mer by Debussy, and
I swear to God, if you said Debussy,
she said Debussy.
Debussy.
I feel like half of our episodes are just us making fun of Katie.
Maybe.
Katie, you're carrying this podcast.
Okay, you are welcome. I carry this podcast on my back. The Jaws theme song, which I have lovingly been calling Shark, was composed by John Williams for Jaws, the movie. It was inspired by Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, Debussy's La Mer, and the New World Symphony by Dvorak.
Well, and John Williams was a classical composer himself.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So here's
lots of post-tonal, but still.
I mean, yes, but here's Dvorak's symphony, since I can't play you the Jaws theme song. So it's kind of a bop.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, I love the New World Symphony. It's so good.
It's a banger, honestly.
It's really good. Katie, you're muted.
I didn't mute myself.
All we saw was Katie just her mouth moving and silence. We're like, what's happening?
Anyways, what I was saying while I was muted apparently was so the chromatic two notes da 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 has become synonymous with horror and been used by a lot of people for a lot of different things. But yeah, that's Jaws.
Okay.
Okay. Now to you, Sophia.
I'm talking all about Fantasia. Apparently it just really scared me that much as a child. But I think the scene that terrified me the most, hands down, was Night on Bald Mountain, when the demon guy comes out. I know he's got a name, and he's like pulling the souls out and they're all dancing. This one, it's translated as two ways. So I've seen both A Night on Bald Mountain and A Night on the Bear Mountain. And that's because it's from Russian. And
it's from Russian?
Yeah, the original piece is Russian, written by Mussorgsky.
Okay, so it was from Russian.
Yeah, translated from Russian. So there's more than one right translation. But let's play it, because you will definitely recognize it. Doesn't that just give you so much anxiety? Anyways, that's as good as a place of any to
someone please end. Tell me why I heard don't go chasing your emotions.
I kind of see it. I kind of see it. You want to sing along to it? I'll play it for you again.
Well, yeah, mashup time. Let's go.
Wait, is that the DS era?
Shun.
Wait, hold up. Maybe I need to go back. Sorry, it's really hard to, because this stupid piece is not stupid piece, this masterpiece is 11 minutes long. But listen.
No.
It's a note short.
Well, two notes short. Because it went D, yeah. And then changed.
Yeah. I don't have time to do a full analysis of the piece right now.
Did ABBA use Dies Irae?
No,
they did not.
Your emotions.
And anyways, Night on Bald Mountain very famously was a tone poem that does depict the demons rising and collecting at the mountaintop to dance for the devil, which is exactly what ends up being portrayed in Fantasia. And of course, at the end of the piece, there's that resolution where you see the little figures like going towards the light. And I mean, that's exactly what the story is depicting, because it's very specifically meant to be depicting a story. And fuel your childhood nightmares, because no one watched this and went, would this scare my child?
The answer is yes.
I was going to say, or any of the children that did watch it were too afraid to tell their parents that it scared them.
Going from that super low bass that kind of actually sounded just a tad like the Dies Irae, let's talk about the Dies Irae. So also arguably, like, I don't know if you'll know it, but you've heard this everywhere, like in everything. It's in The Lion King. It's in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It's in Sweeney Todd. It's in Frozen 2.
Where is it in Frozen 2?
I don't know, but I have these facts.
The scariest movie of all. Frozen 2.
I actually, randomly, I think I remember hearing it, but I don't remember where it is in Frozen 2. Because I think I turned to my friend, I was like, tell me that's not the Dies Irae in this movie.
Yeah.
It's in Home Alone, it's in A Wonderful Life, and also in The Shining that we talked about earlier. But I'm going to play it for you so you know what it sounds like. You know? So obviously, generally it's a bit slower than that because it originated as a Gregorian chant meant for funerals. And then it was taken by Verdi. And if I can find my information. Taken by Giuseppe Verdi for his Requiem. And then it was also used by a lot of other composers as well, including Berlioz in his Symphonie Fantastique during the dance for the Witch's Sabbath or whatever. But he actually, he did it as a big FU to the church because he kind of just like makes fun of it. And it's like used as a part of like a demon's dance, even though it's meant to be like a sacred church thing.
Yeah. I mean, anytime they need to symbolize death, there's Dies Irae.
Yeah.
Dies Irae, Dies Ila.
Yeah, exactly. Years. Everywhere.
It would be right there.
The slower, like, Dies Irae, it's actually in Rent. Did you know it's in Rent?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, during La Vie Boheme, when they kill the dog, right? So then they're talking about, they're trying to pretend.
They kill a dog in Rent?
Yeah.
Have you not seen Rent?
No,
Angel kills a dog and gets paid for it. And then,
oh, right. Okay.
The owner, their old friend, shows up and he's like, oh, we lost our dog. And they're all kind of laughing about it, but because they're trying to like make fun of him, but also not let on that they killed the dog, they start doing La Vie Boheme. And during that, at the beginning, they sing a bit of the Dies Irae.
Interesting.
And then finally, back to Sophia, I believe. Is it?
For what?
Wait.
Where's the last one?
What am I supposed to do?
I think I jumped the gun. I think it was meant to be you and then me, but we went to me first.
I already spoke.
Oh, wait. Was that the last one? Are we done?
Yeah, you're done. We're done.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we're done.
We're free. We're done. Woo! Okay. Well, this has been an informational episode.
Has it?
No.
Basically, we just felt like, I don't know, this was interesting to us.
This was fun. I had a good time.
It's been a long week. Yeah.
It's, you know, we're here for a good time, not a long time.
Exactly.
Honestly.
So, if you like us, you can find us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Find us there. give us a comment, a like, a follow. Let us know what you guys want to hear next. And on there, you can also find our card site, which will tell you where you can stream us.
On our card site, you can find the link to our Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. Please remember to give us a like and a rate on any of the apps that you can, as it really, really helps us out.
Thank you so much for tuning in this time, this week, or whenever you've decided to join us. Hope to catch you next episode. And to wrap it up, I think I would like to leave you with one word. Shark.
Okay.
That's the takeaway from today.
Shark.